Hello, this is Mr. Petey Pete, and you are listening to WGXC Acra 90.7 and WGXC.org, streaming all over the world.
La despensa de alimentos de Catskill está localizada en la parroquia de la Iglesia de St. Luke en Catskill, en la calle William, número 50. La despensa está abierta todos los viernes de la 1 hasta las 4 de la tarde. La comida sana es un derecho. Para más información, bienvenidos a todos a venir. Llamar por teléfono a 551-299-2456. Mirar la página web catskillfoodpantry.org o conectar con nosotros en Facebook en Catskill Food Pantry.
Every Monday from 2 p.m. to 3 p.m. you can listen to our Modulism radio show. Airing electro meet acoustic music championing the use of analog instruments. The use of electricity to sustain a sound produced with a musical intent. Each program lasts 1 hour and is especially dedicated to one composer.
WGXC underwriting support is provided in part by MPAC, presenting Laurie Anderson in a talk featuring her newest major stage work, ARC, on Thursday, August 29th at 6 p.m. on the campus of RPI in Troy, New York. More information can be found at mpac.rpi.edu.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Ruby's Hotel and Restaurant in Freehold, New York. WGXC local business supporters help us continue to be a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement. Thank you, Ruby's Hotel and Restaurant.
Welcome, baby, to Dim the Lights with Jenny and Amanda. We got Jenny on the soundboard here at 393 Woo. Main Street, Catskill, New York, baby.
Yeah.
Exactly.
We're coming back as shock jocks, actually.
And I'm Amanda, just sitting here, also chatting. This is Dim the Lights.
So jerky.
You know, just trying to shake things up, add a little pizzazz to our old show. Which it doesn't need any pizzazz. This is Dim the Lights with Jenny and Amanda. We are a twice a month, every second and fourth Tuesday of the month to be exact, movie talk show where Jenny and I get on the airwaves to talk about movies that we've watched separately around a theme that we've chosen each episode. And before we get into tonight's theme, we're going to talk about what's playing in the movie theaters right now presently. I'm going to tell you about what's playing at the Greenville Drive-In. That's also known as the Drive-In 32 on Route 32 in Greenville, New York. We have Grease, the sing-along version, this Labor Day weekend, Friday and Saturday. You can find out more about times and tickets at drivein32.com.
Gorgeous. And now I'm going to tell you about what's playing at the new movie theater on Fairview Ave in Hudson called Story Screen Cinemas. This week, they have Alien Romulus, Blink Twice, and The Crow. And then the remake, so sorry, to be very clear.
It's the new Crow.
But they also have a cool ongoing series, I guess you would call it, called See a Classic for $10. Very exciting. And classic is a broad term here, I would say, because we have this week it's The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo. And then in September, it's Casablanca, The Lego Movie, and Raiders of the Lost Ark. Like, pretty fun choices they're making. I do like the
wide definition of classic.
Yeah, it's pretty broad. And like I think this is probably the same series that they played Interview with Vampire for, mm-hmm. I'm assuming.
As time marches endlessly forward, new classics are being made every day.
It's so true. So if you're interested in any of those new movies or older classics, you can find out more information at storyscreenpresents.com.
Amazing. I'm going to tell you about what's playing this weekend, or actually, sorry, Wednesday through Sunday at the Highway Drive-In in Coxsackie, New York. It's a four-screen movie theater, and there's a double feature on each screen. So on screen one, we have Deadpool and Wolverine and Alien Romulus. Wow, I'm really Deadpool and Romulus.
You're doing great.
Twisters and Twister.
Mm-hmm.
On screen two.
Finally.
Strange Darling and Blink Twice on screen three. And Grease and Footloose on screen four.
Wow, there's something in the air.
There is. I love me some Footloose.
I know, me too. I was just talking to my mom about that the other day.
It's so fun. It's so fun. All right, so that is what's playing at the Highway Drive-In this week. Please check it out. Find out more at highwaydrivein.com. That's HIWAYdrivein.com.
All right, and now we're going to head across the river to the Crandall Theater in Chatham. We have Long Legs, Casablanca, Mrs. Doubtfire, Breakfast at Tiffany's, North by Northwest,
whoa.
Annie, Rushmore, and then coming soon, we don't know, who could say? There's a picture of Ratatouille, that's why I was like, oh, coming soon, Ratatouille, but I couldn't say for sure that that's true. I just assumed.
Only real information on
exactly.
This show.
Look, I'm not here to spread rumors. I don't know if it's going to be Ratatouille or something else. I don't want to get your hopes up. What if it's not Ratatouille? But if you're interested in any of those movies, which what a stacked schedule they have coming up, you can find out more information about showtimes and tickets at crandalltheater.org.
Incredible. I'm going to take us up the mountain to the Wyndham Theater in Wyndham, New York, where we have Deadpool and Wolverine, Despicable Me 4, Inside Out 2, and It Ends With Us. You can find out more about showtimes and all at WyndhamTheater.com. That's WyndhamTheater.com.
Okay, and now we're going to go over to Upstate Films, starting with the Star Cinema, which is the location in Rhinebeck. We have Confessions of a Good Samaritan with director Penny Lane, Sing Sing, Between the Temples, Fight Club, Office Space, Kneecap, and The Widow Cliquot.
Probably Cliquot.
Probably Cliquot. Yeah. Who's to say? I couldn't. But it looks cool from the picture. but that's what's playing in Rhinebeck. And then hopping over to Saugerties at the Orpheum Theater, we have Burden of Dreams, Fitzcarraldo,
yes, yes.
Dee Dee, Blink Twice, Eyes Wide Shut. Still playing, I hope, because I missed it. So I
did
really
too, and
to
I'm
go.
Really trying to see Fitzcarraldo.
Yeah, for real. Magnolia, once again, The Widow Cliquot. It just has extra letters in there that I don't know how to say them.
Yeah.
And Thelma is still playing. Everybody really likes Thelma. I got to watch that.
Me too.
And so if you're interested in any of those movies or when they're playing or any other information that you would like to know, you can find out more at upstatefilms.org.
Amazing. Amazing. I just have one more theater to tell you about. It's the Old Spotlight Theater in Hudson, New York on Fairview Avenue. We have Blink Twice, The Crow, Alien Romulus, My Penguin Friend, It Ends With Us, Trap, Deadpool and Wolverine, and Twisters. You can find out more by going to thespotlighttheaters.com and selecting the Hudson location from the drop-down menu.
All right, and my last theater to tell you about is TSL, otherwise known as Time and Space Limited, in Hudson. They have their September calendar up, so I'm going to tell you a little bit about what's coming up. They have Werner Herzog, Radical Dreamer, Speak of the Devil, The Cowboy and the Queen, Dance First, and Sing Sing. And it looks like there's a couple of other things coming up, but as always, their schedule is subject to change. So I would strongly recommend heading to timeandspace.org to find out more information. Oh, it looks like they're also doing the Met Opera, as always.
Nice.
So, yeah, if you would like to see any of those or know more information, which I would really recommend, I would go to timeandspace.org.
Amazing. We're so lucky to have so many wonderful theaters around here.
We really are. It's pretty thrilling.
A little kid recently roasted me for not having seen any of the Despicable Me movies.
You haven't seen any of them?
No, I'm sorry. I have seen the first one.
That's
and
me too.
And he was like, you haven't, what do you mean you haven't seen the fourth one? And I was like, well, do I have to see all the other ones? And he solemnly shook his head yes.
He's
yes, you have to see.
Don't you want to?
You do have to catch up to know what's going on.
It's like, it's just embarrassing for you that you don't know.
It is embarrassing. Well, you know, that brings us to our theme tonight, because tonight we're just talking about all the new releases that we've seen.
New, fresh stuff. Yeah. There's a lot of stuff out right now. I mean, half of the movies that we read, I was like, what's that?
I know.
Didn't know about
My
her.
My penguin friend.
Well, I know. I would really like to know about her.
I heard about Strange Darling the other day, and then I immediately forgot everything that I've heard about it.
I've never heard of it. Sounds like a cool name.
Sort of.
I guess. I don't know.
Really,
I was like, either. Sounds like a cool movie, but I don't know anything other than the words.
I know, and it's like kind of a silly name.
Yeah, it's a little silly. Oh, sorry.
Sorry.
Let me pop your mic. Pop your mic down a little bit.
So yeah, we're just going to talk about the new movies that we've seen in theaters this summer so far. I finally caught up on getting to see some more movies at the drive-in. It was
the best.
It was not nearly pulling my hours at the drive-in until just this past month. So grateful for that.
Yes, it's been a busy summer. I think it always is, but it's hard to find the time to get out there, especially when they're dropping like 100 new movies every day.
I know,
it's crazy.
Should we go from the most recent, like, do you want to start talking about Alien Romulus? Because I haven't seen it, but I don't care about spoilers.
I'll do a little Alien Romulus taste. I don't want to say too much because I think probably there are still some people who haven't seen it who want to. I'll do broad strokes.
I guess we should go broad strokes.
Well, then I'll go a little bit more specific, but I'll tell you, I'll warn you. I'll say, turn down your volume.
Yeah.
Are you ready to hear the spoilers?
Yeah.
Alien Romulus is a new movie. If you don't know, I don't know. I don't know. In the ongoing Alien franchise that started in 1979. She's been cooking for a long time.
A long time.
It just came out like probably 2 weeks ago. I think it's really bad. I'm a Romulus hater.
I think from what I have heard, most people are also Romulus haters.
I mean, I think it's one of those, as longtime listeners of the show will know, that I am extremely forgiving to most movies. And even if it's not a very good movie, I can still usually find a way to have a good time and kind of like meet it where it's coming from and like, I don't know, like find a way to discuss the merits. And there are certainly merits of this movie. Just to give you like a broad understanding of it, it's supposed to take place between Alien and Aliens, which is an interesting choice for a franchise which has been going on for so long. And I think the idea was that it was meant to be like a back to basics Alien movie.
Yeah.
It's directed by Fede Alvarez, who made the Evil Dead remake from a couple years ago, like 10 years ago.
Yeah.
And
2013 to be exact.
11 years ago.
And Don't Breathe.
And Don't Breathe from, that one's actually made, well, that's still probably like seven or eight years ago. And so it's like, I think I had high hopes for this movie because the trailer looked really fun and scary.
And both of those movies that he's known for are very fun. Like, say what you will about Don't Breathe. Like, I know you're not such a fan, but both of them are, like, thrilling.
There's, right? Yeah, there's like, a lot that they I do like about Don't Breathe, even though there's some stuff in the third act that I'm like, it's not my fave.
Yeah.
Which also, I would revisit that and maybe I would feel differently now, but...
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah. But yeah, so... I think there was a lot of high expectation for this movie, which I absolutely bought into. I was like, it's going to be so fun. However, so it's about a group of like kind of like young 20-somethings who are all from a planet out in space that is owned by Weyland-Yutani, the evil corporation that runs all of the corporations in the Alien franchise.
Yep, the one.
And they all basically are... They're from a mining planet, so pretty much them, their parents before them, have all been miners who have died from, you know, mining diseases, because that's what happens. So they're all kind of trying to find a way off of the planet through, you know, whatever means they can. And they hear about a space shuttle, or not a ship, it's like... you know, like a station. That's the word.
Yes,
what's it called when it just lives up there?
Yep.
A space station which has been abandoned for some reason. But it has cryopods on it, and they want to get the cryopods so that they would be able to make a longer journey to a different planet to, like, escape their lives. So they all decide to go up to this abandoned space station, and lo and behold, what should be on the space station but a bunch of facehuggers that have all been trapped in cryogenic freeze. Mm-hmm. And as soon as they get there, of course, things start to go wrong.
Yeah.
My main problem with this movie, I mean, I have several problems with this movie. I think it's a shame because it is really beautifully shot. Like, it looks great. And in the very beginning, there are a lot of really fun practical effects, and I really respect that. And the characters are, like, totally fine. There's some that are, like, okay, like, not great writing. But, like, for what is essentially a slasher in space, I'm like, I don't really need the characters to be anything other than archetypes. Like, that's totally fine. There's a moment, probably, like, 30 or 40 minutes in, where the movie kind of takes a turn and suddenly becomes insanely self-referential to a degree that is, like, just, it took me out every single time. And I really had a hard time respecting that filmmaking choice.
You mean, like, fan service-y?
Yes.
Okay.
Fan service-y. And then, okay, here's my spoiler. So, like, turn down the volume.
Turn down that radio.
It's not like, I mean, it happens really early on, so it's not, you know, whatever. I think people have different expectations of spoilers, but because it's kind of a newer movie, I'm just going to tell you. When they get to the space station and the xenomorphs start, like, coming out, they find an android, and it's the top half of a guy who's been ripped in half, and they're like, well, let's ask him about what's going on, because they're confused and scared. And it's an AI-generated Ian Holm, who is Ash from the first movie. And it looks so bad. And they it's that thing that they do where they bring a dead actor back to life. Like, Ian Holm is dead. And it's like,
and he can't give consent to that, which feels so bad.
It feels like so ghoulish to me.
It does.
And, like, both as a, like, an ethical choice, and also as, like, from a storytelling perspective, it feels so, like, vacuous. And it also for a movie that is talking up its practical effects, it looks so bad. Like, it looks terrible. Like, the AI that they do to bring his face back. And I just, then, so from there, like, my partner and I saw it together, and when that happened, we were both like, oh no. And then from there, he's like one of the main characters, essentially.
No,
like, he keeps coming back the entire time.
That's so bad.
And it's just brutal, because it doesn't really make any sense from a storytelling perspective.
No.
It would be much more, there's one of the main characters in the crew of, like, young kids is also an android, and it's like, you have the choice to make that actor play the android. If you need an android character so badly, have it be that same guy, or Michael Fassbender is alive, Lance Henriksen is alive.
Yeah.
It could be an entirely different guy. Like, it adds nothing to the story for it to be Ash, who, like, we know is a bad guy from
it's
the first
so
movie.
Stupid.
So it's like, it just, there is no mystery there.
Yeah.
It's so stupid. And then from there, I just feel like it has this, it does a lot of self-referencing with direct quotations from other Alien movies, which is insane because it doesn't, like, it just doesn't make sense in the world of the movie anyway. And the other thing that I found really frustrating about it, because that's the kind of stuff that's like, I don't like it, but, like, if it's here and there sprinkled in, I'm like, whatever. I don't think it's, like, a good filmmaking choice, but, you know, it's not the most evil thing you can do.
Yeah.
But the other thing that I found really frustrating about this movie, which, like, really took me out of it, is that a lot of the action set pieces feel directly inspired from, like, video game play, which is interesting. And I have heard, like, Fede Alvarez has, like, explicitly talked about Alien Isolation being, like, an inspiration for this, which is a video game that takes place on, like, a spaceship or whatever. But,
and in between the two movies as
yes,
well.
Yes, totally. And so, like, I understand that as being, like, an inspirational piece of the puzzle for making this one. However, the things that I see that feel taken from a video game feel, like, totally also, like, cinematically bankrupt. Like, it's well, so, yeah, it just doesn't like, make any sense. Like, there's fight scenes where one character is shooting a gun and then the other character says, careful, you're at 70% ammo.
No,
and then he
no,
does it again and he says,
Jenny,
careful, 50% ammo. And
Jenny,
he like counts it down the entire no. time. And it's oh. just like, the reason that you have exposition in video games is because
it's not a movie.
It's not a movie. You have to have
and
it.
And you're a character
because,
in it.
Right. It's because yeah. you need to know what to do. Movies are different. Like, we have cinematic language for a reason. Yeah. Like, put it in the movie. Like, yeah. you don't need to have a character say the words to me. Like,
no,
it's so...
That's so bad.
Every time I
they
think
about
it...
They don't even do that when they make adaptations directly
yes,
from video games.
It's,
like, they don't do that in Doom.
Right. Of course. Like, you're right. Because it doesn't... It's not... To me, it feels so... It kicks me out of the movie so fast. Where yeah. you're like, I know that now... Like, now I really feel like I'm watching a movie in a way that's like... It feels so... Yeah, like emotionally displacing. Like Alien Romulus sucks. I think it's so bad. It just like every time I start to think about, I'm like, well, there's this thing about it that I like, and then I'm like, no, the rest of it like just really it totally diminishes it for me. I found it to
no,
be
it sounds like
so bad.
Okay. So as we've talked about this past week, after you've seen it too, like, and I still haven't seen it again, but you know, like, I'm trying to enter this new era of my life where, like, regarding all of the Alien sequels that are not Aliens. Mm-hmm. So, like, Alien and Aliens live in this other world where, like, Aliens is this unreal sequel. Like, they...
Totally.
It's so smart because it just completely changes genre. Mm-hmm. Like, the first... Alien is a horror movie.
Yeah, totally.
Aliens is an action movie.
Yeah, totally.
Like, that is so smart alone, just, like... Doing
that transition
sequel,
as a sequel is
yeah.
fascinating.
So like,
yeah.
you know, even Aliens is still incomparable to mm-hmm. Aliens. Like when people try to pick which they like more, I'm like, well, do you like horror action more?
Right,
like
exactly. That's a personal preference.
Yeah,
thing.
It seems totally incomparable. But so those live in this like separate world of both being mm-hmm. like truly excellent movies.
Yeah.
And like, I didn't even realize this until rewatching a lot of them these last weeks, but Aliens does so much to extend a lot of our, like, you know, we get the acid blood mm-hmm, and the
totally,
facehugger and everything
yeah.
in Alien, but we get the actual word xenomorph in Alien.
Right, yeah, so they extend the story in a way that's really interesting.
Yeah,
yeah.
But, like, not but too, like... It's,
not too weird yet. Not
too
weird,
weird
yet.
We're not getting weird yet. Yeah. We're keeping it simple. We're yeah. just getting a little bit more information.
Yeah, totally.
You know, like, and then, so, all right, we're putting those aside. We're setting them aside. We're like, they're perfect.
Yeah.
Great job. And then... Everything that comes after, I'm really trying to, because everybody has such wonderfully weird, different opinions about all of them, and they're all right, and they're all wrong.
Yeah, totally.
I'm really trying to come into this new part of my life where I'm like, they're all legit, and like you said earlier in this week, off air, in real IRL, you're like, they're all just weirdo interpretations
yeah.
of how to expand the story.
Totally.
Like, they're just... I famously am an Alien Resurrection defender.
Love
recently
that.
Rewatched it. Terrible movie. Absolute
yeah.
garbage.
I also, we just finished rewatching
French.
It last night.
Way
yeah.
too French.
It's so French.
It's way too French. It you know, it's, for those of you who don't know, Alien Resurrection is the fourth in the series. Still has Ellen Ripley. But it's directed by Jean Genet, who made Amelie and City of Lost Children, and it
yeah.
has like moments of like Amelie tweeness.
It does.
It's too much.
It's yeah.
But I also love it for how weird it takes
yes,
it.
Exactly.
And Jenny loves Alien Covenant.
It's true.
For the same reasons.
Yeah. It's really that's the thing that I do think is it's Alien is such a unique like franchise in that way. And it also always feels weird to call it a franchise, even though it is that, because
yeah.
every single installment has been directed by somebody with a really strong point of view.
Yeah.
And like, I think that's why even the ones that are, I mean, yeah, everything after Aliens is weird. I was like, even the ones that are weird, but it's most of them.
They're most of them. But it's true. Like you're saying, they're really actually giving it like a full crack at it.
Yes.
Like, I think that's why I can respect Resurrection, because
totally.
I'm like, oh, you went for it.
Right. It's like
you really tried to bring something new.
Yeah.
Where it sounds like Alien Romulus is like, like, there is absolutely no rewatchability.
No.
Like, that's another thing about these weird sequels is when they come out, sure, maybe you love them, but most people are like...
They're usually divisive.
Because people are usually thinking about the original first two and how much they love that, and they're never going to get that again. You're chasing the dragon, babe.
Right, you can't. But, you can't go home again.
Yeah, you really can't. So people usually don't like them, but then soften on them over time. Well, exactly. Right? Like, you kind of find a way to love this movie, and... It seems like when you do something like an AI Ash, like there's no way to come back and eventually love that movie.
No, it's so, I just, it like, that's the thing that I mean, like we're saying, all of the other Alien movies, even like, I mean, it's more of a stretch, like the Alien versus Predator movies.
Okay, but like, listen, AVP 2, we're not even going to talk about. No. That movie is so bad.
It's
that
none
movie
of my business.
Was made by perverts. Yeah, yeah. Okay, that movie was made by... not nasty people.
Yeah, for real.
Like, yeah, no way. But AVP, dope.
It's really fun.
It's really
but
good.
It just, it's just like they, yeah, they all have, they're all doing something interesting, even if it's not necessarily like good or bad, which I also do think, like, after at a certain point when you're talking about cinema, which I would describe these movies as cinema, it's like it's not about,
use that C word.
Use the C word, baby. It's not about like they're all competently made, so it's not, we're not even talking about it from like a filmmaking perspective on that level. We're talking about like the choices that are being made and like the insane writing. Like, that's kind of what we're doing.
Yeah.
And they're all, yeah, they're all taking, like you said, like everyone's taking a genuine crack at it and kind of like taking it in some wacky, weird direction.
Yeah.
And I think that's what makes them really valuable and like interesting. And like, there's a lot to pick apart and talk about, which I think that's why they're also really divisive, is that people, you know, are like, there's just a lot to discuss. Whereas with Alien Romulus, like, I could rip it apart for hours because it made me so angry.
But there's nothing to discuss.
But there's nothing. Yeah. It's because it wasn't, it felt like competently made in some ways, but then there are other things where like, there's, I won't say exactly what it is because it is kind of a spoiler, but like there's a scene where you see a character do something and then later you see the consequences of that action, and it would have been so much more interesting to just see the consequences because you would have figured it out. Like, you know, it's just one of those things where it's like you... It's kind of holding your hand like you're a little baby.
Oh, and we talk about this all the time. How like, movies do this
treat
now.
Me like an adult, actually. And like, this is, it weakens the movie because you don't have any, like, there's no suspense. Like, I know what's going to happen because you told, and it's not, it doesn't even fall into like dramatic irony in that, like, in that way. It's more just like, okay, I know that that person did that, so I'm going to see the payoff of that later. But like, it would have been more interesting if you had chosen to like not show me that scene. Like, there's no need for it.
Right. Well, it also, it sounds like what you're describing is how, like, you know, we are in franchise reboot era.
Yeah.
Like,
for
everything
sure.
is franchised. Yeah. Everything is a reboot.
Right.
So it sounds like in part of that, like a lot of these reboots, even like the new Star Wars series or whatever, are essentially a remake of the original plot. And it feels like it's being lightly repackaged for a younger generation.
Right.
And it sounds like this is more that, where I can really love all the other weird sequels, even if I think they're bad, because they're totally new.
Right. Totally.
They don't even try to be like, oh, like one big exposition scene where someone's like, well, back in 2034, nobody does that.
No, exactly.
In and all the other weird
totally
ones.
Even like, and even it did, it really did feel like, oh, this is like any one of those, like a crossover Avengers movie or something, where it's like, it's quotables all the way down. But I really, it almost, like, it's interesting to compare it to Star Wars, because I do feel it has that vibe too, but it's almost like, maybe it's just because I don't know Star Wars that well, so I'm not, like, hearing the quotes over again.
Well, it's not like, even the quote. Yeah.
The word-for-word quotations in Alien Romulus is, like, absolutely unhinged. It's so... There's
well, that's
like
what I mean. It seems like an extra, like, a way too overt, sloppy version of this repackaging.
It's where, like, so sloppy.
I compare it to Star Wars because, like, the plot of the new ones is the same as the old ones, but she's a girl now.
Right, right,
like,
totally.
You know, and there's, like, a defecting stormtrooper.
Right, exactly. Like, which
that's,
I think,
new.
Yeah.
But, like, ultimately...
Like, the plot is essentially... The plot arc is the same.
And that's fine. Like,
totally.
There's a bad guy, and he's dressed just like Darth Vader.
Right.
Like, it's fine. But this sounds like a way extreme.
It's so brutal. Because, yeah, there is an amount of that I really like. Like, there's an interesting... I've been noticing... Josh and I have been watching all of the Aliens over again. We just finished Resurrection last night. And something that I've been thinking about is how they all end with somebody escaping in a shuttle, but then there's something bad in the shuttle. Mm-hmm. Which I think is probably true for almost all of them.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's a really fun story beat to have in every single one of your movies. And, like, it doesn't get old... because they're always doing something different with it.
Yeah.
And, like, that's kind of the most interesting part of this movie is that it also uses that trope, and it's a funny, weird... or not funny. It's just, like, weird and gross.
Yeah.
That's... but it's still just, like... God, the CGI in this movie is really brutal.
That's
it's
the
like,
thing, it's is I could tell from the trailer. Like, I actually was a hater of the trailer.
Yeah, totally.
Because I really... there's one shot in the trailer of a bunch of facehuggers like chasing somebody and the movement of them and the way the camera movement of that little tiny clip.
Yes.
I'm like, ooh, I don't know about this.
Yes. No, totally. It's and that is absolutely correct in the film also. We were like, oh God, it looks so bad.
Yeah, it's such a shame.
It's a bummer. But yeah, I'm really glad. The thing that's really cool about everyone talking about Aliens now is that like, yeah, Alien Covenant, everyone's talking about how they were wrong and Alien Covenant's pretty
it's
good.
It's true. You are having your time in the sun. Jenny, who has always been like,
welcome.
Listen, you guys,
you don't
listen.
Understand.
Now everyone's coming onto Jenny's team. I rewatched it not too long ago. I still don't think it's good, but I think the parts of it that you love, I also love.
Because they're great.
Those parts are great.
Yeah. I'm really looking forward to rewatching
it. Okay, so that actually goes perfectly into like what we're talking about, how like time really helps people's feelings toward those, those sequels and prequels. Because, you know, like even I think Prometheus... is so fun.
Yeah, totally.
It's so fun. I'm probably going to watch it later tonight, to be honest.
Yeah, same. I'm really stoked to rewatch Prometheus.
Yeah. So, but when it first came out, I was really hung up on, again, like so many people feel about when sequels come out or reboots come out, you feel so like precious and protective of the original material.
Of course, yeah.
And I really didn't like what it said about... extending the world.
Same,
like, essentially xenomorphs are developed by an android.
Right, totally.
Who's, like, angry at being created.
Yeah, totally.
You
know? Like, same. I've never really liked that part of the, like, quote-unquote lore.
Yeah.
Like, I don't really like when movies decide to, like, explain lore. We kind of talked about this on Furiosa, too. Like,
exactly. Like, I'm cool to just be dropped in.
Yeah.
And, like, it's funny because I do love the character of David, and I
same.
Like what he's doing.
Yeah.
I just almost wish it was like a separate thing.
Yeah, totally.
But again, I'm learning better how to like not feel so precious about the original material
it's
and
hard.
Be like, sure, whatever.
Yeah,
take me for this ride. I don't care.
I think also a thing that's cool about time passing is that it gets easier to, or it's not like easier to separate it, but like, for example, I've gone back and rewatched Alien like a bunch of times since Prometheus came out, and like I never remember that stuff. You know, like it still lives in its own little pocket in my mind.
Exactly.
Like same, like we were talking about this also with Alien 3, where like to me, it is so sad, and I think that's a lot of why a lot of people hate it. But like it's almost existing in like a different timeline for me, kind of, where I'm like, all this really sad stuff happens to Ripley, but like she's not the same Ripley that she was in the first
exactly.
one. You know, it's like a different person, some almost.
Right? Like I feel like I never got really into comics as a kid, but I feel like that part of your brain is really exercised when you're into comics because they're constantly different storylines because it's different artists and different writers and like characters are dying and coming back and like all the time.
Right. Having like a million things happen to them.
Exactly. Yeah. And so like having that flexibility toward characters and stories that you love.
Totally.
Like I feel
makes
like
it a little easier.
Yeah.
Yeah
exactly.
To kind of to like compartmentalize. But I think like having like flexing that muscle helps, but also just like time. Like you're right. Like I think having time where you're like, okay, like this doesn't actually hurt the way that I feel about the original perfect movies.
I rewatched Alien on Sunday night, so I'm excited to rewatch Prometheus likely tonight because I realized that Prometheus is the first time that you get to see that like nipple ring shaped ship.
Yeah, totally.
The horseshoe shaped ship again. Like, and the big engineer pilot.
Yeah. The guy with the elephant trunk.
In Prometheus, that is the first time we've seen that since Alien.
Which is so fun.
Totally.
Which that's the other, that's like the thing that I was also really annoyed about with Prometheus when it came out was like, basically that being like an engineer instead of like it in Alien, it being a weird, entirely unexplained, just like creepy thing that you see.
Yeah.
Like just like a big guy with like a weird face.
Yep. And he's like got a hole in his chest and they're like, that's funny.
Yeah.
Wonder how that happened.
And you just don't know. And then Prometheus kind of does tell you, unfortunately.
Exactly.
She's like, I don't need to know. It's just so scary on its own.
Well, and it's, I realized too, an Alien, sorry, we could just talk
welcome
about,
to Alien chat.
I know. It's fine. It's fine. This is our show. We get to do whatever we want. So I remembered from Prometheus that they find that, you know, that whole thing is a suit.
Right, which is, like, to me, kind of a bummer, but
I also think it's kind of a bummer, but also kind of cool. Like, I don't know. I guess because I had Prometheus fresher in my mind. Mm. So in Alien, I was like, oh, like,
there's that guy.
Was it always intended to just be a elephantine looking creature?
Right. I don't know.
I think
that's the question. Was it? That's the, like, we don't know. We don't know what that guy
always
is.
Always a suit.
It's a mystery to us. Yeah. That's what's pretty fun. Also, I mean, some mystery does remain.
Some mystery will always remain. Yeah. I guess because it's Ridley Scott, maybe, like, Prometheus is also Ridley Scott.
Totally.
Maybe it was always intended to be a suit.
Ridley's like, I knew.
I know. He's like George Miller. He's like, listen, you guys, you don't understand. Okay?
I've always known.
I have known for a long time. And I bet he has. I don't know.
I'm sure he
maybe
has.
Maybe further reading required.
Yeah.
But he might have known Ridley, this whole time.
Yeah. He was like, this is exactly as I planned.
Yeah.
He was always just a little guy under there.
He was
wearing a
always
big jacket.
Just also a huge guy, but in an even bigger suit.
Yeah.
Huge, weird suit.
Huge, weird suit. So fun.
And then I always thought that, wait, yeah, okay, so Prometheus is a prequel.
Yeah.
I always thought that when they find that ship, and at the end of Prometheus, well, you're going to rewatch it.
Yeah, that's okay. I've seen it. I feel like I've watched it. Kind of, you and I watched it together a year ago.
Exactly. Yeah. When they, at the end of Prometheus, they escape that planet by piloting that ship.
Yeah, totally.
And then in Covenant, David has taken that ship and gone to the home planet of the engineers.
Yeah.
And destroyed them all.
Right. Go off, King.
Crazy. So I always thought that, like, I was like, oh, that's so cool. Like, where that ship has crashed is the same planet that they first land
the first
on
crew.
An alien.
Yeah,
that's why they find that ship.
Yeah.
Not true.
Oh.
They're different planets.
This just happens to be.
They're just the same ship, different planets.
I mean, that makes sense because it's like it was a whole like race of people. So they would have many of those ships, I assume.
Well, in an alien, they would have many ships. And an alien, if it was the same planet, they would have shown up and seen like the ruins of a city.
Right.
And
totally.
Also that ship.
Yeah.
Huh. But it's totally.
It's just different. It's just like, no, that's just a different ship. Don't worry about it. There's just like more xenomorphs here.
Yeah. And just a different xenomorphs. Different planet, same ship.
Oh, that's interesting.
Going to different planets. I was like, oh, like, because that would be kind of cool film service
totally.
If it was like, because it's like maybe one that's a little subtler. Like, oh, this is the crashed planet on the ship.
Yeah, that's kind of fun. Like a fun nod that's like you don't need to know or understand for it to like improve or impact the story in any way. Like that's always my beef with like referential movies is that it's like often you need to understand the reference for it to have any impact. And I'm like, this is so stupid. That's such a stupid, bad way
it's
to make
so
a movie.
Dumb. But having that thing where it's like background, especially because it's a prequel, so you can have that crash site look so different because it's millennia before you see it in Alien.
Yeah.
So it would be like kind of subtle in that way. But
I guess that's what they call an Easter egg.
They really biffed it and they didn't do that.
They didn't do that. I mean, the other thing is that like, I guess I don't really have a mind for like logicking movies. So whenever there's like inconsistencies, I'm like, whatever, it's a movie. It's like, I don't care.
You're good.
I just don't have like, I've never been a, you know how there's people who, my mom is one of these people who can like watch a movie or read a book and know exactly what's going to happen from the first like 20 pages, first 20 minutes. I'm not that. Oh, interesting. I'm not that either. But I think it's like, for me, it's because I'm not really thinking about like
story logic and like what would be the next thing that would happen. And so like I conflate those two things in my mind as like me not really caring about like plot holes and also me being surprised by every twist and every turn.
Yeah.
Cause I'm just like a little baby.
Yeah. I know. I was going to say, I'm the same way because I live every day by second by second.
Yeah, exactly. And we both live life a quarter mile at a time.
Exactly. I never know what's going to happen.
No.
But yeah, plot holes only bother me, I guess, when they're really obvious and they make me feel like I'm being treated like a little baby in the audience.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, totally.
I'm a baby, but you don't know that.
Call me a baby. Treat me like an adult. Yeah, only I decide
exactly.
I'm a baby.
That's the only time that plot holes bother me where I'm did you really think I wasn't paying attention?
Yeah, it's frustrating when it feels sloppy instead of like in service of the story.
Yeah, when it's in service of the story, I'm like, sure, whatever.
I don't care. That's fine. Yeah. But yeah, I'm just like, I'm not going to, I still want you to see Alien Romulus. I know you will. And Romulus is hard to say also. Frankly.
I know.
That's why we're stumbling over it.
It's also like, it's too bad. That's a cool name.
It's cool. Oh,
it's too bad that it's not cooler of a movie.
It's a bummer because it's a cool name and it's like a cool concept in the movie.
How dare you invoke
but
the
they
name
don't,
of Romulus?
Well, they don't even do anything interesting with it in the story. It's so annoying. The thing, I'm just going to tell you where the name comes from.
It's the ship, right?
It's the station. It has a Remus and a Romulus. Like two halves.
Oh,
it's like a
nice
station that's like kind of like fused together and there's two halves of it.
Oh, cool.
But they like never do anything with that. I'm like, you could have like there's kind of some sibling chat, but there's not anything. I'm like, you don't have to do anything with that, but why call your movie that then?
Yeah,
like,
exactly. Especially
there's something interesting there, but you're not digging into it.
Right. And especially because the entire basis of the xenomorph is like gross reproduction.
Yes.
And like Romulus and Remus being like twins parented by a she-wolf.
Yeah, totally.
Like
it's so, and there is like there's like a you see a painting of the she-wolf with the little boys, but like there's no like other than like the regular overt sexuality that's always in the Alien movies, which is like there's some really fun stuff and like there's don't get me wrong. There's some really fun, gooey, gross stuff in this movie.
That's what we're here for.
So that's why I'm like, you are going to enjoy those parts.
Yeah.
It's just the overarching structure that really fails.
Yeah.
And like, there's just so many like little pieces that took away from my enjoyment of the movie such that I think that's also probably why I'm so annoyed is that it could be so good.
I know. Well, like he probably thought of all the cool ways to die.
Yeah.
And the cool ways to bring in the xenomorph and then like padded it out with some fluff.
Yeah. And it's also not very scary. It's not scary at all. I know. Bummer. And it's really being marketed as like, this is the one. This is the scary one. Are you gonna tell me about something scary?
Well, I was gonna say, does that then bring us to the other thing that was marketed as a scary movie in years?
Long legs.
So freaking dumb.
I know. We're really in it's a bummer because at the beginning of the summer, I was like, wow, we're eating this year. There's so many fun horror movies coming. We're eating, baby. But alas, all of the fun horror movies that came out are not very good this year.
No, there's nothing but ash in the cornucopia.
It's terrible.
Yeah, it's okay. So
let's talk Long Legs, baby.
Long Legs is a movie by Osgood Perkins, son of Anthony Perkins, I'm not familiar with any of his other works, but Long Legs is a movie that came out earlier this summer that was heavily marketed, and part of that marketing was it being called the scariest movie in years.
Insane.
So apparently, so it's a Neon, I think, is the production company.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. So apparently what I learned after seeing it is that Osgood Perkins never meant for it to be marketed like that. That was all the production company.
That makes total sense.
So he meant for it to be viewed more as like, you know, just like every young director, especially if you're a dude, you love David Lynch.
Yep.
Listen, we do.
Look, we all love, we all love Lynch.
We all love Lynch. There's endless amounts to love. And so he wanted it to be viewed more as like a weird, like Lynchy vibe. Also like Silence of the Lambs,
like
detective
thriller
vibe.
Yeah.
He wanted it to be viewed as more like fun and strange and not as the scariest
movie.
So knowing that did make me feel somewhat softer on
Yeah, totally.
However, it's a bad movie.
Yeah, I'm with you. I was really feeling softer towards it right after having watched it. I do think there's a lot about it that I do still really like.
Yeah. I know, I should take that back. I'm trying to not be somebody who says it's a bad movie. It's a movie that I felt was bad.
It's not a bad movie, but it is a movie that I felt was bad.
Yes.
Hey man, this is our radio show, so you can say whatever you want.
No, I mean, I am not, nothing is bad. Nothing is, there is no God who deems what's bad
movie
or good.
Is good or bad. Yeah.
It's me not liking a movie. I know plenty of people who thought it was amazing. A bunch of these dudes on movie podcasts that I listened to were like, I'm going to be thinking about that movie for a long
That's
time.
Great. The it's, you know, it's, I feel like, did he write it? He must have, Oscar Perkins.
I think he also wrote it, but let me look that up.
To me, the weakness in that movie is the writing. Like, I think that there's a lot of it that is really interesting. I do not think it was that scary. It was like a fun thriller. I felt excited by it. And then I did have like a little bit of fear of the devil afterward, but that was kind of a personal issue.
Yes, it was also written by Oscar Perkins.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, to me,
I think
it's
not that scary.
It's not that scary. The thing is that it's like there's a lot of pieces that are working, and I've seen one of his other movies. I've seen The Black Coat's Daughter, but like,
that's right.
Could I remind you, or could I remember a single thing about it? Like, no, it left my mind immediately.
Yeah,
because he does these really slow, vibey movies, which can be very cool if you have something of substance to back it up. And like in The Black Coat's Daughter, I don't really remember it, so I'm not actually gonna rag on it, but like I remember finding it not that interesting.
Yeah.
And Long Legs is a bummer because I feel like it starts out pretty strong. Like it's extremely slow and it is extremely vibey, but it is kind of an interesting, like you said, it's I did not put together the Lynch connection, but that does make sense because everyone's dialogue is really heightened.
Exactly.
In that Lynchy way.
It puts you in a world which it expresses like almost entirely just like vibes wise.
Yeah.
And so it puts you in a world that feels, yeah, like unreal. Like
yeah.
Very strange,
it's very uneasy
and uncomfortable.
And unreal, yeah.
And like there's very few characters and also very few actors.
Yeah,
like you don't
totally.
Really get scenes where there's like extras on a street.
Right. It feels very lonely. It's like a very lonely movie.
Yeah, it feels like it takes place in like a very desolate, isolated reality like ours, but not quite
like ours. Yeah. And so I feel like that is a really interesting and kind of strong choice, which I always respect. But then when things start to kind of coalesce towards the end, it really falls apart for me because I just found it difficult to follow in a way that wasn't like confounding, but just was kind of like it lost me where I was like, I don't really understand what's happening, but I'm not like scared because I'm confused. I'm like confused because I'm confused.
And I feel like it wasn't enough of a strong vibe piece for me to just go on that alone.
Right. Exactly. It's
it wasn't Lynchian enough for me to be like, oh, we're never going to follow this weird thing up
again.
Totally. That's fine. I'm having a good time.
Exactly. I'm not really having a good time while I'm watching this movie.
Yeah.
I'm having a bad time.
I've really struggled. So I really hated it when I first exited the theater, and then I still don't like it, but I have been feeling softer about it after learning all these things about it. And when I try to like lean into it being fully strange, I'm like, oh, okay.
That
like
makes
that's
more sense.
What we're doing.
Yeah, totally.
But like we're saying, it doesn't, I'm having a really hard time figuring out exactly what keeps me from fully leaning into that.
Same. Yeah.
And liking it. And it just feels, make a movie that's meandering and bizarre.
Yeah, totally.
And still a complete idea,
yeah,
I guess.
Absolutely.
And it feels incomplete. It feels like a lot of it leaned on like, isn't this weird?
totally.
Like the titular Long Legs, Nicolas Cage's character, I feel like is kind of a throwaway.
Yeah.
And then it felt very reliant on like Nicolas Cage
Isn't it weird?
Weird.
I feel like I'm realizing that we've been talking about this movie for like 15 minutes without actually describing what it is. So I just want to give a casual summary.
Thank you, Jenny.
I'm sorry, we got in so deep. So Long Legs, if you don't know, how could you not? It's a horror movie that came out like a month ago, month and a half maybe. And it's about a young woman in the FBI played by Micah Monroe. I think her name is Lee.
Yes. Harkins?
It's... I'm thinking it's the same as the
Lee
last
Harker.
Harker. I was like, I feel like it's a Dracula last name. Yeah. Lee Harker. Who it's the 90s. But it's not fun. She is in the FBI and she is basically put on this case of this 30-year long serial killer who is a family annihilator. But is never at the scene of the crime. So she's kind of trying to figure out how these families are being killed and what this serial killer's role is. And part of that is that she has kind of revealed herself to be like a little bit psychic, which is a really interesting part of the movie that I wish there was a little bit more of. Because I think that's the stuff that I'm like, ooh, like that is really weird. And like, not necessarily Lynchy. Like, it's an interesting comparison. But
well,
like
I guess when you think about Agent Cooper, he's kind of
that's true. He's a little psychic.
But like, what a fully formed character,
right?
Like, I'm sorry. Continue with the recap.
But yeah, it's basically it's really just about her. Like trying to track down the serial killer and then kind of what's going on with that guy. And that's all you need to know, really, if you haven't seen it.
It's definitely takes place. I don't even know where it takes place. It's like a wintry Midwestern
vibe.
Yeah,
it's got a Midwest vibe.
I understand that her character was supposed to be somebody who's like, who is so good at their job and like, is maybe kind of on the spectrum, mm-hmm. like really not good totally. At being social.
Yeah, she's very awkward.
So her character just, comes across as like awkward and like mm-hmm. very, very serious.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it made it hard for me to like enjoy that character because they didn't kind of give it anything else.
Right. There's like, it's a weird balance because I feel like movies like that only work when there is a little bit of, like there has to be something really strong anchoring the different facets of a movie for it to really work, in my mm-hmm. opinion. And mm-hmm. that one, like, and that could be jokes, that can be levity, that can be like either a really strong point of view with like, the plot or something, you know, like I feel like that movie is very floaty the whole way through and all of the characters are also very floaty. Yeah. So there's kind of nothing to grab onto.
Exactly. Yeah. It's like almost like looking at a picture that's too busy and there's no place for
exactly.
my eyes.
Exactly. There's no focus.
Anchor.
And so for me, it's like, there are a couple of jokes in that movie that like, but they're really weird. And they, when you laugh at them, you're like, is that a joke? I'm not sure. Like I'm thinking specifically of like the shopkeeper, like the girl who's mm-hmm. like at the counter.
Yeah.
And like when Nicolas Cage comes into like a shop and she just like makes, she like just says something about like that weird guy's here again. And it got a laugh out of me.
Yeah.
But like it doesn't feel like enough to really anchor. Like,
no.
And then, Lee's character is so, it's also because she's so uncertain of her place in the world. Like that feels of a piece with the rest of the movie, but it doesn't make for like a good viewing experience.
No.
At least for me and obviously for you. Like, it just didn't hit as hard as I wanted it to.
I know. And even like, so in its comparison, it's getting compared by us and everybody else to Silence of the Lambs, which is one of its inspirations.
Totally.
One of the wonderful things about Silence of the Lambs is that there's great detective work in
it. Yeah, totally.
So even just that, I'm like, fine, have it be like a weird, floaty kind of vibe, but like maybe just good, like detective work that feels like believable and thrilling.
Yeah, there's a lot
like,
of it.
I can watch you undo a puzzle.
Right.
That's cool.
I love watching people undo puzzles.
Yeah, and like
everyone
she does, but like she
Zodiac.
Doesn't really because she gets a note from him that has a way for her to decode
it. Right.
It's,
I know. It
sucks.
It feels like it's like this weird. It's interesting because I feel like I'm contradicting myself, but it feels like he's making some choices but also leaving a lot of room for ambiguity mm-hmm. and that's kind of a problem. I'm like, you need to actually make stronger choices in order for this to feel like purposeful and intentional. Yeah. Like a lot of it feels kind of like, oh, I don't know what's happening.
Yeah.
But I don't know. It's like, I'm exactly. not, there's things about it that know. I do still really like. I don't know about long
I know
legs.
There's things that I like about it too. Like there's actually parts that I thought were scary. Like
yeah,
you mentioned
totally.
Being afraid of the devil. And yeah. I thought that part, which was given very little attention.
Yes. I know. I'm like more.
I was
devil,
like,
please.
That is really scary.
Yeah. Like there's
the,
some,
the image.
Yeah. There's a lot of stuff in it that is unexplained, which in general I like, but it feels like it comes so fast at the end where you're just like, wait, you don't need to explain it, but like, give me more time. Like, let me linger with this weird stuff.
Well, that is part of it too, is like, there is an exposition scene
right.
oh, trying sucks. To explain this very unexplainable weird thing
yeah.
where it's like, see, this man lived in my basement and he made dolls. And when he gave them to a family, it possessed them. And inside the dolls were a little piece of the devil.
Yeah.
And then I came to make sure they all murdered each other.
Right.
Like, it just feels very like, what
a
now?
A lot of information, but with no... yeah, no like direction. It's so yeah, it's yeah. a real bummer. I really wanted to love long legs, but I just those legs, they're too long.
Mm-mm.
They're much too long.
Mm-mm. They never go back to that line too. It happens in the very beginning.
Which
where
is
he's
really
like,
fun.
I forgot my long legs today.
Yeah,
like, what?
I'm wearing my long legs today. I do really like that scene at the very beginning.
I do
really
too.
Fun.
I
the
think
cold
that
open
scene
rolls.
Is really
yeah.
creepy and
yeah.
fun.
It's
that part
creepy.
Was great. It made
yeah.
me jump.
Yeah, me too.
But yeah, it was unfortunately unfocused, I think is the word.
Yeah.
And it tried to be a vibe piece or not. It's yeah.
really unclear. Yeah. Oh, long. Oh, those
oh,
legs.
Long
They're
legs.
So long.
Well,
yeah, it's still out there though. I do think it's like, if you're a person who's into horror movies, it's like worth watching.
Yeah. It's worth watching to talk about it, you know?
Oh, sorry. I was stalling for time because I was trying to remember the thing that I was going to say. When you were talking about Silence of the Lambs, it reminded me. The first thing that I said to my partner when I got home from it was that it reminded me of, like, one of the worst episodes of Hannibal.
Yeah.
know?
Which it did kind of have that, like, sheen to it.
I love Hannibal so much, but it has that, like, slow motion, sometimes black and white for no reason.
Yeah.
Like, really vibey, yep. but to what end?
Yeah. It almost has that, like, student film
yes,
thing.
Yes, it does.
Where
it
you're like,
does.
Ooh, so close. Like, and I'm talking about, like, rich kids
yes,
student film.
Obviously, yeah.
Like, yeah, you're like, this. There's something here.
I feel like if you
there's
worked,
something really fun here.
That's why, I mean, I feel like this is true for so many directors, too. I just wish that more of them worked with writers like these kind of like auteur-y directors. Like I'm trying to remember this. I said this about somebody else recently too, where it's like, I feel like this movie could be great if you were working with somebody else who, and I'm sure he is, like films are obviously made by
yeah,
many people.
You need a collaborator
but
on
it's,
this one.
Yeah. I just feel like there are a lot of strengths in that movie in the direction. And for me, where a lot of it falls flat is the writing. And I'm like,
yeah.
I just feel like you needed a like tighter edit on this one with somebody who could like help you work on it. Which again, like, I don't know what they're doing back there. I'm Monday morning quarterbacking it,
no.
as they say.
I don't. What does that mean?
As I said it, I was like, this is a phrase I've heard before. I hope I don't mess it up. I think it means like, you know, because football's on Sunday. And so, like, the next day, when people are talking about it on Monday, being like, man, you shouldn't have had that guy in there. It should have been another guy. But it's so easy
sense.
To say the next day. And also, you don't play football. You're
yes.
just some
okay.
guy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
yeah. I'm just some guy who doesn't
phrase.
Play football. I'm just saying here, after having watched the movie, and I don't know anything about the process of making it, but I'm like, I just feel like if you had another person
yeah.
to talk to, maybe,
I mean,
does he have any friends?
We're... That movie was made for you and me and all the eyes watching it. So
true, actually.
Our opinion matters.
We're critics.
We're
professional critics. Professional
we
amateur critics.
Had more movies to talk about, but we're kind of out of time.
Yeah, sorry for Alien Chat.
Yeah.
I'm not sorry.
Another movie, really, really quick.
Yes,
I'll
yes,
just drop
yes.
this in there.
Drop it.
That I thought also interesting, also a mess, needs better writing. Cuckoo.
Oh, interesting. Oh, yeah. I really want to see it.
I want you to see it too because I want to talk about it with you. It's
yes.
real weird.
Yeah, I bet.
And at first, I was like, "Am I going to go home?" I saw it at the drive-in, so I would.
Ooh,
I
yeah,
never
yeah,
leave.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't think I've ever left an indoor theater, but the
yeah.
drive-in, I have been like, "It's the second movie. I'm
yeah,
sleepy.
I gotta go."
I
yeah.
almost I almost did.
Oh, interesting.
Because I didn't like the, or I, you know, I was just like, ugh.
Yeah. What are we doing?
What are we doing? Yeah. You know, it's the writing so weird. Yeah. So messy.
Yeah.
Most people probably also don't like this movie.
Yeah. I that's what I've heard basically that it's like middling.
Yeah.
I love Hunter Schafer and I love Dan Stevens. I think Dan Stevens is so good.
I love him too. I'm really stoked to see it. They're both great in it. Concept so weird that I'm like, it's taking me there.
Yeah.
Normally I'd be like, just like Long Legs. Yeah. Like, this sucks. Concept in this, I'm like, never seen this before.
Yeah. Oh, fun. This is weird. See it.
This is real weird. Ugh.
Yes. God, I love movies.
I love movies.
Even
so
when
much.
They disappoint us. All right. We'll be back in 2 weeks. Actually, Amanda won't be here, but I'll be here with two very special guests.
I am so excited. I can't wait to tune in and be on the other side of the airwaves.
But yeah, catch us every second and fourth Tuesday here on WGXC 90.7 FM.
Mm.
And we'll see you next time to chat about more movies.
It has been a pleasure.